Chapter 5. And most of you may be familiar with this passage. It is known as Jesus' Sermon on the Mount. I've been to the Mount where they believe this took place. And it really wasn't as big a mountain as I thought. I kind of had it my picture in my mind, being from here in South Carolina, when we say a mountain, we talk about, mountain. But it was actually more like an incline, a hill coming up off the Sea of Galilee. And that's where they get the idea for it being a mountain. But if you could picture Jesus sitting there on side of an inclined hill, or a mount, if you want to call it that, and this great multitude of people spread about with the Sea of Galilee as a background and the lush green pasture there as the sanctuary, so to speak, as where they sat. And Jesus gave this great sermon. So many parts of this sermon we've studied before, and we'll study more of it again. There's so much in the Sermon on the Mount. Probably the greatest sermon ever preached by any human, but certainly Jesus was more than that. He's the Son of God. But I want to direct your attention to just one verse and one thought tonight as we look at this. And when we talk about our relationship with the Lord and our relationship with others, as I was preaching on Sunday, it naturally follows up, what should we be accomplishing in our Christian lives? What should our lives look like? If we're going to put in the important things in the right place, if we're going to seek God and then be a ministry to others, if we're going to witness, if we're going to encourage, if we're going to pray and all those kinds of things, what should naturally be the result of those things? What is it that God is looking from us? And what does He want from us? I think certainly He wants our fellowship. I think certainly He wants our obedience. I think it all comes down to a matter of the heart. I think God is more concerned with your heart being right than anything else that you may do in the name of the Lord. I mean, you could do a lot of things and not have a right heart and so forth. But as that happens, naturally there's something that God is looking for in our lives. There's something that He wants to be accomplished. And there's some influence in some direction that should be. And so I believe there's a verse in this great sermon, just actually it's a phrase and then a little bit of explanation in the rest of the verse that gives us some things, what I think that Jesus is looking for and what He's trying to get across. You'll find that many times when Jesus was speaking publicly, especially like this, the Sermon on the Mount, many times as He was giving parables and those kinds of things, He was directing the idea to the Jewish people and to His disciples that what God wanted more was involved with relationship with Him. Pharisees were all about the outward appearances. Pharisees were all about the keeping a list of do's and don'ts and adding to the law and to making it fit for them. And if we're not careful, we could be guilty of the same thing, right? Even in our day and time. We could be guilty of that. Instead of emphasizing our relationship with God, instead of emphasizing what God wants from us, we tend to kind of put an artificial checklist sometimes. And some of those things we have to be very careful about. But in this verse that I'm going to give you, and we're going to look at tonight, is one of those early statements that Jesus gives about the importance of our relationship with God and what that means outwardly. If we're going to be right with God, then there's some things that naturally should happen. And if our lives are following in obedience to God, there's some things that should take place naturally. And it is found in chapter 5, if you'll stand as we look at verse 13 tonight. Chapter 5, and just one verse tonight, and that is verse 13. Jesus says, "Ye are the salt of the earth." And that's your phrase right there. That's your statement we're going to look at. Ye are the salt of the earth. Now, we'll look at the rest of this verse as we go through it here tonight, but let me go ahead and read it. But if the salt had lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing, but to be cast out and to be trodden under the foot of men. Notice the phrase, ye are the salt of the earth. Father, I pray that you give us direction. Give us clear understanding tonight. And may your Holy Spirit speak to our hearts what it means to follow you and be the salt of the earth and allow our lives to be salt in a world that so desperately needs to know of your love and your grace tonight. This I pray in Jesus' name. And all God's people said,
amen.
You may be seated. Ye are the salt of the earth. Now, you've used that phrase maybe times in describing somebody that you maybe liked a lot. Maybe was just a great person. Maybe had a great influence on your life. And when you used to describe them, you might use that phrase, oh, they're the salt of the earth, you know. And we've heard that phrase sometimes. But I remember from chemistry class, and the reason I remember chemistry class is because my daughter's taking chemistry this year, so I've had to help her with her homework. And you remember the element chart, the chart of all the different letters and numbers that make up all the elements, and you had to learn those things. And you remember that salt is actually a compound. It's made up of two of the elements. It's made up of sodium and chloride. And sodium is with the letters. If anybody want to venture to guess, remember what sodium is? It's
Na.
Na. There you go. Who did that? There you go. Our doctor back there, Vicky. There you go. Na is sodium. Chloride, that's an easy one there. It's Cl. Cl. So NaCl. If you write those letters together, that makes up salt, and that's a compound. And so when we're talking about salt, was Jesus actually talking about the same kind of salt that we use salt today? Yeah, he's talking about salt. He's using salt because he knew that his audience knew what salt was. They knew what salt was used for. They knew the importance of salt. Now, they may not have known Na and Cl at that point in Jesus' day. They may not have had the atomic chart of elements, which I'm sure they didn't. That came along later. But salt is made of equal parts of two things, sodium and chloride. And Jesus said here, ye are the salt of the earth. Now, we're going to talk about the importance of salt in just a minute. But there are other things in our world, in our elements, and the physical science of the earth that we live in, that are just as important. Jesus didn't say that you are the dirt of the earth. We need dirt. He didn't say you're the plants of the earth. Plants are important, right? Remember our science classes and the importance of plants and trees? He didn't say you're the water of the earth. He didn't say you're the air. I mean, all these things are important, right? All these things have a place in the physical element of our physical earth to help us breathe, to help us function, the elements of nature. But it was salt that Jesus said, you, as my disciples, you, as those who genuinely follow me, those who are children of God. He says, you are the salt of the earth. So why would he use salt? I've often wondered, why didn't he use sugar? I like sugar a whole lot more than I like salt. Amen? I mean, you know, sugar's a lot sweeter, and it's a lot more enjoyable, with most things, but he didn't say sugar, didn't say pepper. I like a little Tabasco sauce on my scrambled eggs, you know. He didn't say Tabasco or salsa. He said salt. So why? There's a lot of things, and that's one of them. And there's some things about being salt that I believe is for the understanding that Jesus' audience knew what salt was used for. And when Jesus made this statement, they understood that the value of salt and what it was used for, Jesus is saying, that's what God wants out of you in your life. He wants your life to be salt. He wants you to be salt of the earth. There's two or three things here, and I think I'm going to give you three, of what salt does and what salt can be used for. And this is what I believe God's looking for out of my life. I believe what He's looking for out of your life. First of all, salt can change. Write that down. Salt changes. I can't remember where I was. And I remember eating something and I went, man, that has no taste. No taste at all. I mean, just didn't have any taste at all. And it was one of those things where you ever had some green beans that just didn't taste like green beans? I mean, they just tasted like plants or something, you know? Really? And so I just grabbed the salt. That was my first instinct. Grab the salt. Now, I don't do that a lot because I don't eat a lot of salt on my stuff. I just have to watch that. But I needed some salt. Boy, I sprinkled a little salt on it, and those beans were good after that. Salt changes things. It can change the taste of things. Did you know that also salt can change the ground from being a fertile ground to an infertile ground? Do you know that ancient armies would take, and when they'd conquer a country or a city, and part of their destruction of the city they would just take mounds of salt and pour it all over their crops and their fields where they could no longer grow crops and grow food anymore. And it would just take and turn the field to be an infertile field. Salt changes things. Changes the taste. It changes the ability to grow. God expects us as salt of the earth to make a difference and to change things in our world. I'm convinced that God did not leave us here as His children to make up the great family of God and for us to leave the world in the same old rotten mess that it is and not make a difference. I believe this is a verse that many people would use to use as a launching pad and a thought to be involved in our community, be involved in your schools, be involved in your jobs, in your family. I believe that God expects us, as children of God, as we walk with Him, as we grow in the Lord, that our lives produce change in our world. Lives should be changed because you love Jesus, because you live for Jesus, and because you serve Jesus. Lives should be, you should be making a difference in your jobs. You should be making a difference in your community. You should be making a difference in your family. Because you name the name of Christ, and because you follow Christ and you seek to obey Him in your life, you should make sure that your life changes things. Salt changes things. Our lives should change our world for the better. We should make a difference. You are the salt of the earth. And God needs you to make a difference and make changes where changes need to be made. Number two, salt not only changes, but also salt can, I believe, Flo, you said this one, preserve. Preserve. Salt preserves things. Before refrigeration, and of course in Jesus' day, there was not the refrigeration technology that we have in our day. So salt was used to preserve, especially meats. Salt them down and keeping them from spoiling. Every culture of that era and that world of that day used mounds of salt to preserve meats. I'd never really known how that was done until I actually saw what's called a ham house. Anybody ever been to a ham house? You know what I'm talking about. You know, butcher a pig and prepare it and everything else and then hang it up in a ham house. And that pork is covered in what? It's covered in salt. And they really tried to do this in cold weather, and cool, as cold as they could, and for that very reason as well. But it's the salt that is necessary to preserve. Okay? Salt is used to preserve. And so I'm not an expert in canning and all those kinds of things and preserving of foods and all that kind of stuff. But salt is a natural part and is a main ingredient in preserving things. Do you realize that our lives as children of God is here to preserve and to save our culture and our world? Go back to Abraham. Do you remember when God decided he was going to destroy Sodom? Abraham went before God and said, God, don't do that. And he said, God, if there are 50 people, would you spare Sodom and Gomorrah, the sinful, wicked cities, for 50 people? God said, I'll spare it for 50 people. Abraham went back to God and said, well, God, what about if there's 40 just people? If there's 40 just people, would you? God said, yes, for 40, I'll spare judgment upon. And he went down to 30, went down to 20, and went down to 10. And God, in his grace and his mercy, and yes, grace and mercy is even in the Old Testament, isn't it? Amen. That's right. Even before the day of grace. And in his grace and his mercy, he was willing to spare the judgment of God upon the most wicked cities of the world at that day if there were only 10 just persons. However, they couldn't find 10. It was just Lot and his daughters. It was the only ones they could find, Lot and his wife and his daughters. And God sent his angels to get them out of there before he sent the judgment. Preserve. Many discussions have gone on. Why has God not judged countries and nations and cultures because of their sin? And especially, I'll just come out and say it. I wonder sometimes why God has kept his hand of judgment off the United States of America.
Amen.
We deserve the judgment of God. This nation has butchered more babies, has endorsed more sinful, immoral acts than any culture since the days of the Roman Empire. And yet God has stayed his hand of judgment upon this nation. Why? Why is it that God has not destroyed us with fire and brimstone? I'll tell you why. It's because this nation is still made up of at least enough people who are the salt of the earth, who are preserving this culture for the gospel of Jesus Christ so that the world can still hear the good news and know the story of Jesus' love and his mercy for us. I am convinced that the only reason God has not judged this nation with fire and brimstone as he did Sodom and Gomorrah is because there's still enough godly, fearing, saved, born again, child of God that make up this nation and that's making a difference in this culture. And make no mistake, God can pour out his judgment at any moment if he so chooses. But he's chosen to preserve us for still a short time because we're still reaching the world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. We're still sending missionaries. We're still preaching the word. We're still going out winning souls. And we're still making a difference in this world. And God is still preserving us as a nation, not because who's in the White House, but because who is making up his people, his family, his chosen ones, and God is preserving our nation, I believe, because of God-fearing, Jesus-loving Christians who still want to make a difference. We're the salt of the earth. We, as God's people, I believe, are the only reason God has not judged the United States of America as he has judged other nations before. But let me make your point real clear. God can still, and God will still, bring judgment when he so chooses. And I believe that the only reason it hadn't happened yet is because we are still being obedient to God. That's why it's so important for us to live for Christ. That's why it's so important for us to be followers of Jesus Christ and be obedient in our lives and to preserve and to keep this culture, just like the meat, to keep it from spoiling. To keep it from spoiling. And I believe that's what's happening here. And yes, it's been difficult. I've never seen anything like I've seen the last 4 to 8 years in all of my adult life. And I know none of us have either. But listen, folks, God's not going to preserve us because of who gets elected in November. God's going to preserve us when we, if we, as a nation, will turn back to Him. Now notice the last thing. There's another thing that salt does. And this is what salt does. This is a trait that I believe that God looks for in every one of His children and why we make up. And we talked about salt changes, salt preserves, but here's the last one. Salt adds value. Salt adds value. When I go back and study in ancient world, salt was so valuable, it was actually used as currency and money in business transactions. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine taking a jar of Morton salt can that you buy for 89 cents in the grocery store? In the ancient world, that was money. That was valuable. I mean, you would use it to trade for any number of other goods and so forth. Salt as salt, it adds value. Do you realize tonight that your life as a child of God is so precious in the sight of God that He says that your life is as good as money? Think about that. Jesus said this statement in verse 13 to that ancient world. When Jesus said that, that audience immediately knew what He meant. He said, you are this valuable commodity. Your life as a child of God, your life as a follower of Jesus Christ is as valuable as money in the mind of God and in the heart of God. You see, we think sometimes that if we're not some big shot, if we're not some super talented, if we're not some super well known, if we're not a celebrity of some type, that we really are nothing. That is so wrong. That is so wrong. Because every child of God is so precious in the sight of God. Jesus said right here, you're money. You are money in the sight of God. Your money. You're so valuable. You say, well, preacher, I can't sing. So? I can't play an instrument. Okay. I can't preach. It's okay. But you don't have to do those things to be important in the sight of God. You add value. You are so valuable to the life and ministry and the work of this church because you belong to the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. Your life is sacred. Your life is as good as money. You say, preacher, I can't teach. I can't sing. I can't, I'm not talented. I can't do any of those things. Doesn't matter. Because Jesus said, you're salt. And in His day, that meant you're as good as money. You add value. You see, we as children of God in this culture, as the followers of Christ, we bring value to an old sin-sick world. We bring value to a world that is hurting and broken. To a world that's looking for every form of way of bringing peace and comfort in their lives, and they can't find it apart from a personal relationship with God. I didn't waste 1 minute listening to the State of the Union last night. Didn't need to. Not that I'm opposed to any particular party or anybody else's. But you know, in reality, what we need is not more stuff. What we need is more of us giving ourselves to God.
Amen.
That's the only hope our nation has. It really is. And I think so many times we've taken the idea that we can do this ourselves. that we can pick ourselves up and we can make ourselves do something, and our old sin-sick, apart from God state of life. But we can't. It's only through a personal relationship with God will our lives ever make a difference. Apart from a relationship with God, I'm nothing, and neither are you. Apart from a relationship with God, we can accomplish nothing. But when we come as a follower of Jesus Christ, we bring value to our world. We bring value to the cause of Christ. We bring value to a culture that is broken and in debt and going downhill quickly. But it's because of those who make up the family of God that bring value to a world that is bankrupt and sin-sick. You know, I think so many times, what is it that God has for us to do? If we could keep ourselves in this train of thought, that we, in our lives as Christians, we're here to change, we're here to preserve, we're here to add value to the world around us. We're salt. Now, the rest of this verse, and won't take time, just we read it, but Jesus reminds us that if we have lost our savor, if we've lost our flavor, then we're really not good for anything. In fact, the only thing it's really good for, he says in this verse, is to be cast out and trodden up. And that's what they would do with salt that had lost its flavor. Old salt, ruined salt, spoiled salt. That wasn't any good. It really wasn't good for anything. There was nothing else to do with it. It wasn't valuable anymore. It couldn't preserve anymore. It couldn't change anything. So what would they do? They would actually take it and pile it in the roadways of walkways of the ancient world, and they would just trample underfoot. Again, it wouldn't allow things to grow, so it would make good base of a roadway. And he would just walk on it. That's all it was good for. I'm afraid when we get out of fellowship with God, when we get away from the will of God, basically our lives can't make a difference. We can't preserve. We can't change. We lose the value. I don't want to be worthless in my influence in this world. I don't want to be worthless in the cause of Christ. I don't want my life to go down as being one of those that's just cast out and lack of flavor. I want my life to be salty, like those waffle fries I had earlier today. Those were the saltiest fries I've ever had. Boy, you're talking about drinking some water after that? Man, I don't know. But boy, they piled it on. I want my life to be salty for God. Vance Havner, great Baptist preacher, days gone by, who's in heaven now, said this: "We are the salt of the earth, not the sugar of the earth. Our ministry is to truly cleanse. It's not here to change the taste." Our ministry, our walk with God, our relationship with God should result in us making a salty difference in our world. So next time you hear and read this passage, understand what Jesus is saying. Ye are the salt of the earth. Let's stand as we pray tonight. Father, in Jesus' name, I thank you, Lord, for your precious word that reminds us of our responsibilities and our importance in this world. I pray, Lord, as we leave from this place in these next few days before we return, that we'll think about what it means to be salt in a world that is unsalty, in a world that lacks taste, lacks flavor, lacks preserving, in a world that needs change, in a world that needs value. Lord, help our lives to be salt in a culture that so desperately needs to know the love and grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. Help us to make a difference in our world through our communities, our jobs, our kids' school, where we, wherever we go, whatever we do, let us be salt. This I pray in Jesus' name. And all God's people said. Amen. God bless you.